Oh, you have translators? The city was founded in 1851. We're older than the state of Oregon, just saying. Is there other people coming? No, we're doing the time cert. All right, City Council will come back to order. We have a time certain, and I apologize for being late. I was spending time with this group of Japanese municipal officers, and I have to say they're probably... I know that we have the best of the best here because they were asking great questions, and they're here as part of a program sponsored by the Tokyo Foundation and Portland State University's Hatfield School of Government. They're here for a week taking workshops, and there was a big change in the devolvement, the decentralization of a lot of functions in the country of Japan, and so they are working to make absolute best of that and get the most out of that. Today we were talking about public involvement and specifically on the electronic format. I'd like to welcome, if you could all, we have PSU professors, Dr. Masami Nishishiba, Dan Vizzini, who some of you might recognize as, yes, as retired. Sorry, he's a senior fellow.
I'll sit here.
Okay. Still shy after all these years. And I'd like to give a special welcome to the Tokyo Foundation project manager, Mr. Zentaro Kami, and Akaido Inagaki. Is that you?
Yeah, that's right.
So if everyone from the group would please stand up. Welcome. Glad you're here. Thank you, Yusuda. Hi. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the council. My name is Masami Nishishiba. I'm the associate director of the Center for Public Service at the Portland State University. We are the center co-hosting this training program for the Japanese municipal managers together with the Tokyo Foundation. We have been running this program the last 9 years, and over the course of those 9 years, we've received up to 170 municipal government managers here in Portland. We have been showcasing the best practices in Portland. This year, we focused on some case studies. We introduced the Portland Plan, the composting program, the MAC station in Oak Grove, and Portland Public Schools. So they've been studying those kind of cases and looking at how the people here engaged in the public affairs. The group arrived on Sunday. All 30 of them rented bicycle and ran around the town.
Parkways.
And they went to Sunday Parkways. They talked to a lot of citizens. We started to invite guest speakers. We just met the mayor. Commissioner Fritz is invited this Friday to talk further about her involvement. Right after this.
They are the two leading members of the council, so I think it's appropriate that you're focused on both of them.
Thank you. Right after this, we will be meeting with Brian Hoop from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Also, three members of this group are going to do a panel presentation on the tsunami response at 1:30 at the Civic Auditorium. About 100 people are coming, so this will be a great opportunity for the Japanese municipal government folks to exchange ideas with an emergency management folks here in Portland. Up here, we have Ms. Inagaki from Tokyo Foundation. She will be briefly talking about the foundation's involvement to this program. The group selected two representatives from the 30 members, and they are ready to answer your questions.
Great.
So, very good morning to you, commissioners, and hello to all the citizens of Portland. My name is Akiko Inagaki, and I'm a program officer at the Tokyo Foundation. Thank you very much, Mayor Sam Adams and commissioners, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to speak to you today. So I would like to briefly introduce you about the Tokyo Foundation, what we do, and why we conduct this training program in Japan. The Tokyo Foundation is a not-for-profit and independent think tank that makes public policy proposals on many of the most important political, economic, and social issues of the day. And we're concerned about how policies actually affect people's lives. So we pay attention to the community, to the tradition, and to the lifestyles of ordinary men and women. So we want to make sure that the proposals we make are aligned to people's real needs and aspirations. And in this regard, Portland's emphasis on openness and community participation is a fascinating case study for us. And we are also involved in leadership development, investing in people who will become the policymakers and practitioners of tomorrow. And one of the examples of our activities is this weekend school for municipal officers. So this training program is for Japanese local government officers around all the country, and it focuses in working in close relations with local residents to make their community a better place to live and work. So since this program was launched in the year 2004, we have been visiting Portland ever since. And what we have learned over these 9 years is that while there are significant differences in American and Japanese government system and cultures, in both countries, local self-governance is the key to successful community building. So we are very grateful to Portland State University and all the people in Portland to host the participants in our training program every year. And without your great help and warm hospitality, this very important visit to the city would have not been possible. So thank you very much, everyone, and thank you also for this great opportunity to speak to you today. Arigatou gozaimashita.
So the two members here, this is Miho Hayashi from Takikawa City in Hokkaido, and the person right over there is Mr. Kitamura from Toba City, Mie Prefecture.
Mayor, I have two questions, if I could.
Yep.
Welcome. And my first question is, Portland is the last city of our size in the country to have a commission-style form of government, where by charter we have a weak mayor in terms of authority and a five-person council. Is there a counterpart in Japan, either in Tokyo or in any other municipal setting, to the commission style form of government?
ポートランド市はそのコミッション制というのを使っておりまして、ご覧のように市長、それから市長の権限は比較的弱くなっているんですけれども、市長と4人のコミッショナーがいる形式になっています。日本でこのコミッショナー制に対応するような形というのはあるんでしょうか？
ありません。No. マイク。
マイク。
あ、sorry。ありません。日本は市長と議会は別々のになってます。
No, we don't have any commissioner forms of government in Japan. We have a mayor and the city council, and those are the two different entities.
Well, probably as it should be. The second question I have is, will you have a chance to visit the Japanese garden while you're here? We're very proud of the relationship between Sapporo and this city that led to the development of our wonderful Japanese garden. And will you have a chance to visit it on your trip?
札幌市と姉妹都市を結んでおりまして、その日本庭園というのもポートランドにあるんですけれども、こちらにいらっしゃって日本庭園に伺う期間というのはありますか？ありましたか？
金曜日の日に日本庭園にお伺いをして、まあ、パーティーをする予定になっております。
On Friday, the farewell party for the whole group is going to be held at the Japanese Garden, so I am looking forward to visit there for that occasion.
Terrific. Thank you.
I'd like to say, first of all, express my sincere condolences, all of us, for the impacts of the earthquake on your country.
まずはじめにその皆さんいらっしゃっている日本の各地の皆さんに対しまして、今回の東日本大震災、いろんな方が亡くなられておりますのでお悔やみを申し上げます。
But I was wondering if you were aware that a piece of a dock washed up on an Oregon beach, and until it was removed a couple weeks ago, it became the number one tourist destination on the Oregon coast.
ご存知かと思いますけれども、日本から桟橋がそのオレゴンの沖の海岸に流れ着きまして、で数週間前にそのドック、その桟橋を取り除くまでは観光客の名所になっておりました。I just want to add, there is one person from Misawa City, as part of the group, where that dock came from.
Oh, where the dock came? Thank you.
Well, thank you for, again, I want to underscore thanks. Sorry, I mangled your name. Thank you for your great work and leadership at Portland State University. Underscore my thanks to the Tokyo Foundation that continues to promote innovation on both sides of the Pacific and beyond. I'm very grateful. And I have a small gift for you. It's Oregon Pinot. Which is the best wine in the world.
皆さんに対してオレゴンワインのプレゼントがあります。
Present, oh, you do? Great.
Members, so
we'll just let him approach us, okay? Just because we're... Oh, you give one? Yeah, share the presents.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah? Oh, thank you very much. I would love that. I would love that. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is great.Or do we open them now? We should open them. I guess that every country is different. Ooh, this is... You get a man's tie. That'll be great. That's very nice. It's beautiful, yeah. Oh, these are great.
Thank you.
Keep that up here.
These are beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you. Isn't that great? Beautiful. Thank you very much. Where did he go? Where is he? There he is. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're welcome. Are they going to stay for a while and watch government happen? Or, okay, you'll let them. They don't have to stay the whole time if they don't want to.
The group is going to have a presentation by Oni.
Dan, turn that mic on.
In the Rose Room. Right. Starting at 10:30.
Okay, so at 10:30 they'll get up and leave. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Carla, can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 938?
Authorize a loan of up to $3.4 million of tax increment financing for the acquisition and rehabilitation of the 1200 building to preserve an expiring Section 8 rental assistance contract serving the elderly and disabled, and to preserve 89 units of affordable housing in the South Park blocks.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I have an opening statement, but I'd like to invite Director Tracy Manning forward with our special guest, David Fuchs. Welcome to both of you. Mayor Adams, this is... a preservation deal that we're presenting to council. And because of the complexity of these transactions and the progress we made, Tracy and I thought it'd be appropriate to have a slightly longer opening statement just to put it in the context, because there's lots of questions you and my colleagues may have. And we wanted to tee it up and then briefly hear from our two invited guests. So thank you. In late 2011, the City Council reaffirmed the policy that directs that 30% of our tax increment financing, or TIF, to the creation or preservation of affordable homes. Today, we're asking the Council to approve a TIF set-aside investment in the South Park Block's urban renewal area that will preserve 89 affordable homes for older adults living downtown for the next 60 years. There are many reasons why we're excited about revitalizing and preserving the 1200 building, which is located at 1200 Southwest 12th. I'm going to briefly highlight three of them for you. First, Portland aspires to be an age-friendly city. As we know, older adults on fixed incomes struggle to keep up with their housing costs. This investment will provide 89 older adults with affordable homes so they can age in place with dignity and in security. Many of the residents of this building are challenged by disabilities. All are very low income, at or below 30% of the area's median income. That's about $15,000 a year. Our investment will help bring a number of new services to the community to help them age in place. This includes nutrition classes, help with scheduling medical appointments, library services, exercise classes, and much more. This upstream investment saves money by bringing services to older adults where they live so that they can continue to live independently rather than struggling on their own until they are forced to move to facilities that offer more intensive care at a much higher price. We know that older adults provide enormous benefit to the fabric of our community, and we in turn have an obligation to make sure there are available, affordable homes for them in vibrant neighborhoods across our city, like the South Park blocks. Second, Tracy and I know that the 30% set aside is a limited pool of public money that must be spent wisely. When we're making decisions about where to invest it, we consider how our investment will leverage additional contributions. This particular project is part of the city's 11 by 13 initiative that we've discussed in the past. A number of years ago, we identified 11 buildings made affordable by limited-term federal subsidies in the form of project-based Section 8 vouchers. Now, the typical Section 8 voucher is issued to a person. These are different. They're attached to the apartments in a building, helping to keep the building and the apartments affordable over time. The federal subsidies for each of the 11 at-risk buildings that we identified in 2008 were due to expire no later than 2013. We at the Bureau are committed to working with our partners to bring all of these buildings up to date and to renew these incredibly valuable rent subsidies, ensuring that they'll remain affordable for generations. To date, with your support, we have preserved over 300 affordable homes at six properties. The Admiral Apartments, just across from Director Park, Chaucer Court on top of the Bike Gallery by the Downtown Library, the Rosalind Apartments on Northwest 21st, Upshur House, close to Chapman Elementary, Uptown Tower, close to 23rd and West Burnside, and Walnut Park, which is roughly at 7th and Killingsworth in Northeast. City investments in our 11 by 13 campaign include TIF, as well as federal sources such as CDBG and Section 108 loan funds. Now let's take a closer look at our local contribution and how it's working. If we include the 1200 building, which is before the council today, the city's total investment of TIF would be just under $10 million in the seven properties, which in turn has led to preserving over $62 million in federal rent subsidies, which stay here in our community in the building. That's a pretty good leverage. That's about 6-1. But since our TIF investments leverage other investments totaling over $86 million, the leverage is really closer to 9-1. In this sense, 11 by 13 is like Cash Oregon or the BEST program, which are very popular with this council. By pooling our resources and focusing on opportunities for the greatest possible leverage, we are able to bring tremendous outside resources to our community. We're working with a very strong partner on this project, Cedars-Sinai Park, a local nonprofit providing residential and community-based care, is the project developer. Through this preservation process, they will take over as owner and manager of the building. Now, Cedars-Sinai has a proven track record of success. They preserved 235 homes at the Rose Schnitzer Manor, which was really the inspiration for the 11 by 13 campaign. And they intend to partner with us on two additional 11 by 13 projects. They are also developing Kihila, hopefully I got that right, housing in Southwest Portland, which will bring more than a dozen affordable homes together with services to disabled adults in our community. Based on the core value of dignity, Cedars-Sinai Park is committed to delivering a broad-based continuum of care, recognizing that people should have the right to control decisions about their own lives. We're very excited to have with us today Chief Executive Officer David Fuchs, who will share a little bit of the story with us. This morning, we're going to hear briefly from Portland Housing Bureau Director Tracy Manning and from David, and then we'll have time for council questions and discussion. Welcome, and Tracy, take it away.
Thank you, Commissioner. Council, thanks for having us. I think Commissioner Fish did an outstanding job of outlining why this is a great example of the kinds of projects that we want to be bringing to you. And David will elaborate on that. But the thing that I want to point out that's special to us, special to me about this project, and what I want to keep bringing to you is projects that demonstrate strong alignment and linkages with our jurisdictional partners in healthcare, behavioral healthcare, Home Forward, and the city, working together so that what we are providing for what matters here is the people living in these units, the best possible care. And so this building is a fantastic example. I'm glad we're here to share with you more about it, of exactly the kind of thing that we're aiming at in our housing development and in our homeless agenda. So as the commissioner said, we'll be preserving 89 affordable homes. Those homes are in the central city, which is excellent for a population that is not generally car owners and utilizes a lot of other services that are either transit accessible or located in the central city. The development upgrade itself will upgrade the building. Things like amenities like showers for folks who are disabled that will better serve their needs. And also a substantial amount of sustainability features, many of which are focused on lowering energy use. So windows, water heaters, appliances will really be focused on energy efficiency as well as other sustainability. $3.4 million is what we'd like to invest from South Park Block's urban renewal area. And that will be part of our commitment under the 30% set aside that City Council reaffirmed late last year. So if you would indulge me for a moment, these projects, as you've heard us say a million times before, and as you know from your own work, take a village. The PHB employees who worked on this, John Marshall, Michael Prothy, Kari Hernandez, Kathy Romero, Kathy Peoples, and from the City Attorney's Office, always with us on these, Trin Tran. So I want to thank them very much for their work in making this actually happen. And none of this would be happening without our new partners at Cedars-Sinai, who we are looking forward to a many-year relationship with. So thank you very much for coming. It's David Fuchs.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council.
Hit the mic. Hit the button and just bring it over.
Got it. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is David Fuchs. I'm Chief Executive Officer of Cedars-Sinai Park. And I want to return the thanks first to you, Commissioner Fish, and to Tracy and to her remarkable staff in terms of the level of cooperation and assistance that we've received. There is a team of governmental entities and lenders and partners involved in this project, and it's been quite remarkable to be able to work with that team. I have to particularly acknowledge Jim Winkler, who is one of the more remarkable developers in our city, for his generosity and his support. This project would absolutely not have happened without Jim, and we're very grateful to him. I want to speak briefly about the housing with services model that we're attempting to attach to this project, to the Rose Schnitzer Tower downtown, and to the two other buildings that we're also hoping to be involved in preservation of. There are 540 apartments that we're seeking to preserve in downtown Portland. One of the things that we know about this population that lives in affordable housing, based on research, is that they are four times more likely to need assistance with activities of daily living, with health care, with other issues, than people who reside in their own homes. This is the impact of poverty over a long period of time in their lives. The good news is that we also know, as a result of research and efforts around the country, that services can make a difference and can help people to age in place and live with dignity. The model that we are in the process of trying to develop in collaboration not only with the city, but with Multnomah County and with the state of Oregon, and a remarkable group of providers from across the spectrum of care, it is before you in the graphic that you've received. And what this graphic tells us about is the fact that we're looking at a state application for federal funds that will be passed through to the healthcare organizations, but help to ramp this project up and create the capacity to provide service, the creation of a consortium of providers who are willing to work together in tandem to collaborate and provide services to elders to help them to age in place, an empowered group of tenants who are going to be involved in and engaged in helping to shape the services so that they are reflective of their needs, with the collaboration of HUD, Multnomah County Department of Human Services, and the evaluation of Portland State University, and the experimentation with the use of technology to assist elders to age in place through OHSU. We've been working towards this project for quite some time now. The acquisition of this affordable housing and the preservation of the apartments alone is worthwhile. But if we add to it the kind of service model that we're talking about, we will have an impact on the ability of elders to age in place, to remain in the community rather than in institutional care. And for those who may have substance abuse and mental health issues, we will also, I think, be able to reduce their interaction with the criminal justice system and help them to receive the kinds of services that allow them to interact in our community as healthy citizens. And this is a big piece of what we're after. So again, I want to express my gratitude and appreciation for the work of the city on our behalf. We're very excited to see this project come together.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, turn over to council questions, discussion.
Okay. Council discussion. Very thorough work. Is anyone signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish and Tracy Manning and David Fuchs and Cedar Sinai. This is very exciting. It's always great to preserve housing in a downtown core, particularly for older adults. And the service model you've described sounds very exciting, as it is essential for people to age in place. So I just want to compliment Cedar Sinai for very continuing to be on the cutting edge of innovation here. You've certainly grown beyond sort of the Rose Schnitzer campus and are doing good things. So thanks to Jim Winkler, too, because I know he's probably an invisible hand guiding a lot of these decisions. So thank you all. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you, Tracy, Mr. Fuchs, Nick, for good work. And Jim, thank you for being such a great private sector partner. Aye.
Fritz.
This is a really great project, and thank you all for your involvement. Preservation housing is a high need. I'm very supportive of the 11 by 13 project. Happy to hear that Cedars-Sinai is going to be partnering in future preservation efforts. And particularly pleased to see the wraparound care, which, of course, is key to helping people be successful in aging in place and having dignity in their daily lives. So thank you so much for your work on this, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership. Aye.
Fish.
David, thank you for once again stepping up and making a big difference for our community, particularly older adults living downtown. Jim Winkler, thank you for both being the financial whiz on this and the rabbi shepherding it through. We still have other work to do. I don't want you to get complacent here. We have a couple other projects we're going to need your help on. Tracy, to you and the team at the Bureau, kudos for moving forward this agenda. People need to know that there's a set of values driving this work, and the values are preservation, number one, and that is that we're committed to building and preserving affordable homes. And that's our number one objective, and this hits that sweet spot. Two, we're committed to serving people who need our help in our community, and older adults are an important part of that group. And when we can preserve homes for older adults in desirable choice neighborhoods, we've really hit the sweet spot. Third, we have limited resources, so we must leverage our dollars. And this particular program does a wonderful job leveraging additional public and private investment. And that's one of the reasons I'm so proud about it. Next is we don't do anything without good partners. And we're selective of who we partner with, but the partners that we do work with get amazing results. And Cedars-Sinai has a splendid record, and we're delighted to once again be partnering, David, with you and your team. And finally, I want to acknowledge that none of this would be possible without council support. And the council made two decisions in the last 4 years, one a new decision, one a reaffirming a previous decision, which gave us the tools to do this work. One was allowing us to seek and obtain a loan through the Section 108 loan program at HUD, which allowed us essentially to get a loan against future CDBG payments to be able to have an available source of funds to do these deals. Without that, it would not happen. So thank you, Council, for giving us that authority. And second, the 30% set aside for affordable housing. Council reaffirmed that policy last year, strengthened it, in my view, and without those dollars, we're not able to do these deals. What does this mean for our community? It means, in the best-case scenario, that these key buildings located downtown with a particularly vulnerable population will remain affordable for up to 60 years. That's a wonderful outcome. And we want older adults who've made great contributions to our community to be able to retire in dignity and to choose where to live, and downtown's an exciting neighborhood. And we want to make sure they have those options. So congratulations to everyone who brought this forward, and thank you to my colleagues for giving us the tools to do this important work. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Nick Fish and his team for their work on this specific project, but the overall work on preservation during your time as Housing Commissioner has been absolutely superb, so thank you. To the team at the Bureau of Housing and our great partners, thank you for your work. Mr. Inkler, you as well, we appreciate it. And it's important that we keep downtown mixed income, mixed use, and this helps achieve the goals of the Portland Plan and the emerging Central City Plan as well. So thank you. All right. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 939?
Authorize the addition of New Water Avenue as a betterment to the Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail Project and execution of the design and construction funding agreement with TriMet, Portland Development Commission, and Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
So if you have been on the south side of the central east side recently, you see the fantastic railroad, what do we call that, barn facility?
Engine house.
Engine house. Right. I knew I was getting it wrong. The great railroad engine house of the city. You also see a lot of turned up dirt. And that's our efforts to reconnect and rebuild infrastructure that we're talking about today. And I'm going to turn it over first to Art. Okay, Mr. Pierce.
Good morning, Mayor and members of Council. Thanks for having us this morning.
This is a council item specifically focused on two project additions to the Portland-Milwaukee project, and that is the Clinton to the River multi-use path project as well as the Water Avenue relocation project. And these projects have been on a bit of a journey, similar, honestly, to the overall design work for the Portland-Milwaukee project. But these were both first articulated formally by council as a desire in 2008 as part of some of the initial requests to TriMet to look to evaluate during the design process for the Portland-Milwaukee project. And really, we've been steadily working through those steps over the follow-on years. And so just to sort of highlight some of the key steps that council took to continue to move these projects along, we adopted the projects officially in 2011. We added them within the SDC overlay for the Innovation Quadrant also in 2011, and we amended the transportation system plan to incorporate these projects in 2012. So at this point now, these two project elements have been proceeding through in the design and construction planning process for Portland-Milwaukee and are fully incorporated into the Portland-Milwaukee project. And this is really just that final moment by council to officially direct them to be added as betterments to the project and to authorize the financing, the funding addition for those projects. So it's a small relative action today for all the journey we've had, but obviously an important one. So I've invited some friends to speak along with me to help reinforce the importance of the project. So with me is Valeria Ramirez, Sue Pierce, and Linda Nedekoven. So maybe we'll just work our way down the line.
Yeah. Good morning, Mayor and council members. My name is Valeria Ramirez, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Portland Opera. And I'm here today in support of the new Water Avenue project on behalf of Portland Opera. The Hampton Opera Center, which is the home of Portland Opera's administrative offices and rehearsal facilities, is located at 211 Southeast Crothers, as we refer to it, Ground Zero. And our current parking lot is adjacent to the east and is adjacent to temporary New Water Avenue. The permanent relocation of Water Avenue will provide many needed improvements to the transportation infrastructure of this area. And the relocation will improve safer passage through the area for all types of traffic and better connect us to our neighbors to the south. The relocation of Water Avenue is of particular importance to Portland Opera. Future plans envision a closer connection between our two parcels, and which would be facilitated by the permanent relocation of Water Avenue to the east. And together with the streetcar line and the Portland-Milwaukee light rail extension, the new Water Avenue project has a potential to spark a variety of developments that support current as well as future business and attractions in this area. So Portland Opera urges your support for the funding agreement for the new Water Avenue project. Thank you.
I'm Susan Pierce, longtime member and currently chair of Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, or HAND. The HAND board has not had an opportunity to meet and publicly and discuss this current funding opportunity because it's happened sort of quickly, at least from our point of view. However, the board has advocated for the multi-use path from Clinton to Carruthers for many years. One board member, Linda Nedekoven, recalls discussing the concept with former City Councilman Jim Francesconi. So that gives you kind of an idea. It goes back at least that far. Letters have been written to you. Members of the board have testified before this body and other bodies, all in support of a route to the river through the southern triangle of the Central East Side Industrial District. Such a multi-use path will provide access to the river and to the Springwater Corridor and the East Bank Esplanade, and soon the new bridge crossing the Willamette. For residents, it will provide that for residents of HAND as well as our neighbors to the south and to the east in Brooklyn, Selwood, Richmond. Just in case greater details about the advantages of this have escaped your memory, I given you a copy of a letter we wrote on this issue back in January of 2011. So having said all that, in the interest of brevity, having heard Mayor Adams advocate for brevity all these years, I'm just going to leave it at that and hope that you will vote in favor.
I'm Linda Nedekoven, also with the Hosford Abernathy Board. I just really wanted simply to add my thanks and tell you how thrilled I am personally to see this project coming to fruition. As Sue mentioned, we've been talking to city officials about it for a very long time. We appreciate all the verbal support we've received through the years from folks in the PBOT Bureau of Transportation and also from various commissioners' offices. We're delighted that we're getting more than words of encouragement, and there's actually going to be money, and it's actually going to be built. So thank you very much for bringing this to across the finish line.
Thank you. So one thank you for your advocacy since way back in Jim Francisco. Way back.
So one quick note, not to forget all the partners that are involved in making both of these projects happen. So really great partnership both with Portland Development Commission, TriMet, BES, OMSI, Portland Opera, and PGE and OPRR, and then, of course, our friends in the Neighborhood Association. So this has been a very collaborative effort in the coming years, and we're very excited to see it ready to go.
Discussion from council. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
We have Rob Bernard in the audience, and we have Teresa in the audience, who are TriMet and City of Portland light rail czars, respectively. So can you please call the vote on the emergency ordinance?
Did you want me to read the titles for 940 and 941?
That'd be great, too.
Okay. 940, authorized Southeast Water Avenue Property Transaction Coordination Agreement for relocation of Southeast Water Avenue with TriMet, Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, Portland Opera, Portland General Electric, and Oregon Pacific Railroad. And 941, authorize the addition of the Clinton to the River Multi-Use Path Project as a betterment to the Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail Project. Saltzman?
Well, I'm pleased to support both these items. It's been a while in coming, and I know that the Bureau of Environmental Services was a neighbor down there for quite a while, and so we got to know the Portland Opera very well. We were in the same building, and we know how tight it is. Everything down there was during construction and really still is. So the need for the new water avenue and better improved pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicle access to that area is much overdue. And transit as well. Let's not forget the light rail.
Right.
So anyway, this is great to see this happen, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, I'm very pleased to vote aye. I use Clinton quite a bit, and this is going to make a tremendous difference and much safer as you go from that end of Clinton where it exists now and where you pick up the path again. So this is really a cool project. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you all for your work on this project. Thank you for your advocacy. This is a great example of a community-city partnership, a TriMet partnership indeed, where all have worked together, sometimes having differences, sometimes but all focused on the goal. And I remember when we passed this concept plan, there was significant worry on behalf of the neighborhood as to whether the multi-use path would actually happen. And thanks to Mayor Adams' leadership and to the partnerships and the constructive advocacy, indeed it is happening. So very happy to see this getting done sooner rather than later in the grand scheme of things. Aye.
Fish?
You know, I'm especially pleased, Linda, about this connection from Clinton Crossing, Springwater Corridor, East Bank Esplanade. This is going to be terrific in connecting up our system. And
new plaza.
You know, we're also working on the other side of the river and beginning to build out the Greenway and South Waterfront. And the idea is at some point to have it all connected. Thank you for your perseverance. And I can't resist, since we're talking about Water Avenue, to make sure that you know that we'll be opening the new Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation Museum, home to our three new steam locomotives, on Saturday, September 22nd, which I guess is also the big kickoff for streetcars. So that's a day of many celebrations, and that's at the intersection of water, freight, light rail, streetcar, bike ped. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary on the backside of OMSI. So that your vision all coming together in there, and that's an example of what we can leverage with with all of these pieces coming together.
So and we are big fans of leveraging things. And I just think you should know that Sue is on the board of the Oregon Rail Foundation and has been painting walls recently of that building to get it ready for the 22nd.
Well, if you chose the color red for the barn doors in the front, kudos. Oh. That makes it. To me, that seals the deal. But the three steam locomotives, which are even older than Randy Leonard, are grateful to have a home in this new place. So thank you for your good work. Aye.
Adams.
I didn't think that was possible. I want to thank you for your, as well, all your great advocacy and vision on this. But I also want to, in addition to Teresa and Rob, and a lot of other folks, I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Art Pierce, for, before Teresa and Rob get to take their designs and build them, we have to figure out a way to fund them. And everything is in partnership with other agencies, and all the money has strings and requirements. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for your great work on this project, but you've worked on a whole variety of projects since I've been here on the funding side and the implementation side as well, so thank you. All right. That gets us to the next one.
We do the roll on 940 and 941 today. Yep. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
941. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Good. So now we're on 949. Can you please read the title for 962?
962, adopt the Portland Local Energy Assurance Plan as an appendix to the Basic Emergency Operations Plan.
We have Director Carmen Merlot with us today, and this is a continuing and ongoing effort to have council approval of all the appendices of the Portland Emergency Preparedness Plan. Director Merlot.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. Carmen Merlot, the Director of the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. In April of 2010, the Bureau pursued an American Investment and Recovery Act grant, ERA grant, in the amount of $276,000 to complete a local energy assurance plan. And I want to thank a few people who are no longer with the Bureau, my planning manager, Patty Reuter, Tricia Sears, and Penny Bowman, who worked on this and made this possible. Why do we need a local energy assurance plan? Well, for a number of reasons. First and foremost, Oregon imports 100% of its petroleum and natural gas. We also have an area along the Northwest Industrial Area, a 6-mile stretch of the Willamette River that is home to all of our tank farms, pipelines for jet fuel, petroleum, natural gas, the Olympic pipelines there, electrical transmission stations, rail yards, and major water and sewer lines. We know that this area is susceptible to liquefaction, lateral spreading, and landslides, and so we're trying to make sure that we've got some hardening of those infrastructures out there. Many of the docks and piers are over 50 years old, as are some of the tanks. There's erosion around many of the electrical transmission towers. So the purpose of the Local Energy Assurance Plan report was really to identify what Portland's energy profile is, make some suggestions for improvement, and then talk about how the city would respond to a large-scale energy disruption. I just want to touch on a very few highlights, and then certainly available if you have any questions. One, we know that we have to increase our storage capacity for fuel on the west side. The city has 8 fueling stations. Of those 8, 7 are on the east side. Only 1 is on the west side, and that west side location, as you all know, is the underground garage at First and Jefferson. So we absolutely have to increase our fuel capacity on the west side. When the governor declares an energy emergency, he can implement what's called fuel allocation program. That means that the state can require all fueling stations to set aside about 5% of their reserves for certain purposes. They've outlined those tiers or those uses into 3 tiers, and tier 1 would be your typical emergency response uses, police, fire, and EMS. The problem is it doesn't take into account other required emergency response work, including debris removal. So you can't put a fire truck, you can't put a police car on the road unless that road is clear from debris. So we want to make sure that as part of that Tier 1 allocation, we also make room for debris removal. And then finally, we want to improve the communication and notification process between the utilities, government response agencies, and the public. We want to do a better job of alerting the public when there are outages and how long the anticipated restoration will take. So today we're asking for your approval of the Local Energy Assurance Plan as part of the an appendix to our basic emergency operations plan. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Discussion from council. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
All right, this is a resolution. Can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the Bureau of Emergency Management and the Mayor's Office and everybody for working on this plan. It is a very important, critical issue to make sure that we have energy sources should we have a disaster. And so I appreciate the thoughtfulness with which this plan is put together. So please do support it. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you, Carmen. Aye.
Thank you.
Fritz?
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Fish?
Nice job, as always. Aye.
Thank you.
Adams?
Thank you.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for item non-emergency ordinance, item number 963?
Allow Portland Police Bureau to accept gifts from organizations to fund emergency services for survivors of domestic violence or human trafficking, or other uniquely vulnerable individuals in immediate need of emergency help.
Coming up, sir. Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
What are we looking at here?
Morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Mike Gallagher, police officer at Portland Police Bureau. I work out of East Precinct on the prostitution coordination team. During the course of our job, there are four of us officers out there, plus the human trafficking unit downtown. We come across many unique individuals out there, victims of human trafficking, that are in immediate need of resources. And there's services out there for people sort of the long term that can get them out of being trafficked or out of the prostitution. But the immediate needs, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, somebody hasn't eaten all day, need a meal. They don't have a meal. The pimp's taking all their money, taking their ID. Or if we get someone that's willing to testify against their pimp, trying to find them a safe location to go to prepare them to be a grand jury the next day. Maybe some clothing, because all they're wearing is the street attire that they've been put out in. And we don't have that resource right now. We've been approached by numerous charity groups, churches, individuals, businesses wanting to help. And one of the things that we've asked them to do is maybe if they can donate some money towards to help these victims out. And this money would be used to maybe buy somebody a hamburger or something like that at midnight, or put them up in a safe motel room for the night till they can get to a grand jury the next day, maybe buy a bus ticket to get them home to Seattle or something like that. But right now we don't have any ways to use that money or to access that money or hold that money in an account to help these people out. And what we're asking for is approval of this ordinance that would allow money to be donated to put in a fund to be used in the discretion of the officers working the prostitution team for those types of services. It would be managed by the city. It would be strict guidelines is when we could use it as far as some specific items, food, immediate clothing, maybe a motel room for a night, something like that. This is short-term assistance for these victims to get them through that transition period for the next day or two. There's resources out there like LifeWorks and SARC, the Sexual Resource Center, that could help them more on a long-term basis, but we're talking that specific time when we come in contact with them to carry them over till we can get them into LifeWorks or get them in some assistance with the Sexual Assault Resource Center or some of these other services that are out there. So that's what this ordinance is about, to be able to accept some money and to use it, you know, to help these victims out.
Discussion from council.
Thanks, Officer Gallagher. This is great. The write-up or the resolution mentions there's three initial contributors. Are those people, organizations you want to recognize now? Or
Door to Grace has been a huge proponent of this. They've done a considerable amount of fundraising is the main one I work with. Mm-hmm. And I think the human trafficking unit downtown has some other contributors. I'm not familiar with the ones they have. Okay. But Door to Grace is the one that I've been working with very closely and is more than willing to help us out to transition these victims and to get out of this lifestyle. So,
great. Thanks.
All right. Can you please, did you have a question?
It's not an emergency ordinance, right? Or are we going to
non-emergency, correct.
Sorry.
So I just wanted to comment. Thank you so much for your work, and it's really gratifying to see the amount of care and your description of what the officers are doing to help victims and survivors in the moment. And the fact that the faith community is stepping up to help with this funding is also significant. So thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Since we're not voting today, I'd like to say a couple things, too. When back in, I don't remember what year that was, Mike, 06 or 07, when we were having the peak of the prostitution problem out on 82nd, and the Montevilla residents were rightfully up in arms, I was trying to develop an alternative to the prostitution free zone, which at that time was the only tool the police officers had, such as Mike. And I can't remember how I ended up riding along with you, it was suggested to me by the commander of your precinct or who, but of all the ride-alongs I've done in the years I've been on council, two stand out to me. One was with Officer Mike Stradley in North Portland, who, though his demeanor is different than yours, his approach is exactly the same. And the second was with you. I just remember that your approach was one of a feeling I shared with you, which was frustration that the only tools you had was just to exclude these women from the area, and that and your commitment and your mental approach was that they were victims, which was quite different than many of the other officers out there. And out of that came the ordinance I brought forward that created the prostitution team, created LifeWorks, created the tools that we now have. And as I tell many people who either like or don't like initiatives I bring forward, I've never had an original thought in my life. I love stealing other people's good ideas. And your work with me that night did more for me to develop that proposal than any other single experience I had. And I remember you also talking about mentoring young people to be police officers in the cadet program. I think you're the head of that program. And it's just unfortunate more people don't know of officers like you who are, you know, the vast majority of officers who just do an outstanding job. And I appreciate it. Thank you for your service.
This will move to a second reading next week, and I too want to add my thanks to you and the entire team's effort on this. And it is working in a remarkable way, in a deeply transformative way for a lot of folks that are worth the effort, that are just in a bad
partnership with like LifeWorks and right. The officers that I work with all sort of have similar feelings that you're talking about. It's we look at them as victims and trying to get them out of the lifestyle versus just pushing them off the street. So we try to get them to make changes in their life. And that's part of this, is trying to carry them over to get them to the next phase or we can get them some help. So
sounds good.
But it takes officers like you to make this work. If it was a group of different officers who had a different approach, it wouldn't work. So I credit you with the success of this program.
Thank you.
The inspiration and success.
Thank you.
Well, I think you deserve some of the credit as well. You took a lot of slings and arrows, so thank you.
That's
Commissioner.
What I
do. He just steals other people's ideas.
Human target. Okay, moves to further consideration next week. Did you already deal with the second reading? No. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading, item number 964.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Home Forward for Portland Police Bureau to provide police officer patrol services at New Columbia housing sites. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title? Call the vote. Second reading, item number 965.
Authorize the Chief of Police to execute a memorandum of agreement with Oregon Health and Sciences University for the use of the Portland Police Bureau Property Evidence Warehouse. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading item number 966?
Authorize sewer revenue bonds to continue the sewer system capital improvement project. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 965 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 967?